at 9 o'clock. So we can sit in meditation for an hour. Okay, an hour and a half then. Now we'll just do a nice, gentle meditation just for a few minutes. So finding a comfortable sitting position. Our feet balanced on the floor. Our hands resting in our lap. Our eyes gently closed. Bringing our awareness within. And having an initial deep, relaxing, letting go breath. Breathing out any stress or tension might have been building in our body over this day, or even over this week. Consciously relaxing, releasing, letting go. Putting aside issues, worries, concerns. Giving our mind a break. Giving our mind a break from the various roles that we have. The roles of self, whatever those roles might be. Self as a student. Self as a son, daughter, colleague, friend. Self as a partner, self as a professional. Whatever those roles might be, putting them aside, giving the mind a break from having to relate through those roles, those mentally constructed, thought-based roles. And even giving our mind a break from the need to think. Thinking that perpetuates those roles. Roles come with responsibilities, obligations, duties, stress, and thinking. So giving the mind a break from the need to think, allowing thought-free awareness, even self-free awareness, just pure knowing awareness, conscious now. That knowing quality, simply present. And before bringing that mindful awareness to the sensation of our breath, bringing that awareness to our body, even being the awareness, being that calm, knowing awareness of our body, the body. The body that you have, the body that you wear. Being the awareness of the body. The body sitting here. Noticing some of the contact sensations of the body. Maybe our feet, the feet against the floor. Being the awareness that notices, senses, feels. Sensation of the feet against the floor. And noticing the body against the chair. Contact with the chair, the body against the chair. Creating the sensation of support of the chair, maybe the warmth of the body against the chair. Just noticing. Being that noticing awareness. adjusting them if we need to, and being that awareness of the hands and fingers, awareness of the contact sensation of hands and fingers, maybe the softness, warmth or coolness or moistness of the skin of our hands and fingers, just noticing, not thinking about it, thoughts not required, just awareness, knowing awareness, mindfulness. Chest, abdomen as our body breathes. Noticing that soothing motion, the rising and falling shoulders, chest, abdomen, the body breathing. Feeling that movement, being the awareness that notices, feels that movement. Rising and falling of shoulders, chest, abdomen, the body breathing. Our face, sensations on or within our face, being the awareness of that sensory experience, sensations on or within our face. Also light coming in through the closed eyelids. Even though the eyelids are closed, light still coming in, creating an experience of lightness, brightness, color, patterning, blankness. Looking into that, being that awareness of that lightness, brightness or blankness. Sounds, auditory experience of sound, sounds from in the room, sounds from beyond the room, just noticing, not thinking about the sound, just receiving that auditory experience, sounds of different tone, pitch, volume, layers, levels of sound, being that knowing awareness. Simply as a mental sound, a mental voice in the mind. So thoughts are just another sensory experience, a mental sound, or maybe even a mental sight that we can see. Thoughts are just another sensory experience, a mental seeing, mental hearing. We can notice without having to be affected by them. We don't have to believe them, get caught into them, buy into them, react to them. They just come and they just go. Like sounds or sights as coming, going. You don't have to take them personally or make them personal. Just a mental phenomenon. Being the knowing. Being that which watches, witnesses, observes, knows. Aware of anything affected by nothing. Noticing the sensation of the breath at the nose or nostril area, being that awareness of the sensation, the flow of the in-breath, the flow of the out-breath. Each breath always only now. Each breath always only now. Don't miss a breath. Notice each breath. If so, just bring it back to the breath, being that awareness, aware of each breath. In the meditation, so being extra conscious, mindful, present, being that knowing awareness, really savoring, just being. No need for thinking, just being, being aware, being the peace, being the mindfulness, being the knowing. This meditation to an end, inwardly reminding ourselves to try and sustain as much of this calm, mindful awareness can that go into the ongoing moments, minutes, hours of our evening? And to end the meditation, just taking a deep breath and slowly opening our eyes to finish. Begin with a small Buddhist chant. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. Wonderful to see so many people, young people, willing to sit inside a university room on a Friday evening. We obviously know where the good stuff is, where it's worthwhile to be. Especially if you've been at university today, so it might be a long day being here. Hopefully this evening session will be nourishing, nurturing, encouraging for yourself, whatever that is, whatever the self is. So our topic for reflection consideration tonight is... Who Do You Think You Are? Understanding Self and Non-Self by John Barton. So I wonder who John Barter is. Well, Emily read a bit out about who John Barter might be. Probably wasn't a total summary of who John Barter is, because that person's probably there's a lot involved in who that person is. That's just a bit of a brief summary. But it can be important, an important question to consider, especially in the context of your life, having a life, being alive, having a life. You consider, well, who is having a life? Who is alive and who is having the life? Who is that? Who is that? Who is that person? Has anyone ever thought that? Who's this person having this life? You're allowed to have those thoughts. Don't feel that if you have those thoughts you need to see a psychologist. You might be on the right path. You might be on the path to greater understanding, greater clarity, greater meaning, greater joy, greater worth in life. Because maybe who you think you are is not who you really are. So it could be, you know, good to find out, you know, who I really am. But it's probably one of those open-ended questions with no definite, no complete, no substantial answer. What do you think? Any definite answer to who you are?
Who you are, I mean, it depends on That's right.
Yeah, yeah. It depends upon that and a lot of things. Even the fact that who you are now is maybe, as university students, most of you maybe university students. Anyone not a university student? Anyone? Good. So most people here are university students, but you may not have been university students 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And you may not be a university student in 5 years' time. If you are, you've got a problem. Unless it's a very long course. You could be studying to become a psychiatrist, medicine and psychiatry, and years and years and years of study. But who we are does change. That's okay. Yes, I'm a university student. That's who I am. But then, what happens if we suddenly drop out and we're no longer a university student? Have we lost who we are? We become a dropout. That's who we are. So it changes. Now, being single. Who I am? I'm single. I don't have a partner. And then you get a partner. I'm in a partnership. I'm part of a couple. That's who I am. Or I'm married. That's who I am. Or I'm a mother. That's who I am. I've got children. Or a father. That's who I am. So it changes. It changes. There's so many factors that maybe relate to who we might think we are that change. And certainly we know from the Buddha's teaching, sabbe sankhara anicca, all things are subject to change. Anything that's a thing changes. It's not permanent, it changes. Sabbe sankhara dukkha. But all things are subject to unease, sense of instability, unsatisfactoriness, because they change. Things might be fantastic, wonderful, but then something changes, which through cause and effect causes something else to change, something else changes, something else changes, something else changes, and suddenly we find it changes who we are. So things change and really affect this identity, this idea, this identity of who we are. So be sankhara anatta. So all phenomena, all things are not ultimately you. Now that's an interesting one, isn't it? I think I'm a university student. I think I am from a certain country. Could be Australia, could be from anywhere. I think I am a male, a female, a daughter, a son, a brother, a sister. But the Buddha said, sabbe sankhara anatta, all things are not you, are not self. My goodness, and who am I? You might need a psychiatrist or a psychologist after this session. The thing is that whatever we become attached to, we can certainly think that we are, but that thing will change. That thing will change. By its very nature, it will change. And therefore, if we are attached to being that, then it's going to cause one word, dukkha. Stress, suffering, unease. I used to enjoy being a university student. I was a university student after being a Buddhist monk. I was a Buddhist monk for 11 years. I enjoyed being a Buddhist monk. But then I let that one go. And became a university student. And I was a university student from 93 through until 2000. Did a master's. So quite a number of years. I enjoyed being a university student, but had to let that one go. Because situations change, move on. But the thing is that if there's a holding, if there's an attachment, and then things change, maybe we even change it ourselves, but there'll be stress, there'll be unease, there'll be suffering. And who suffers? Who gets stressed? Who suffers? Who gets upset? Who gets frustrated? Who is that? Any ideas who that is?
I think not just yourself. I mean, all the people affected by the change may have some suffering.
So it's yourself? So if something happens and we get upset, who's upset? Me. Me. Self. I. Ego. So who is that? Any ideas? It's whatever you think you are. Who you are is whoever and whatever you think you are. I'm a university student. I'm from Malaysia. I'm a son, I'm a daughter, I'm a parent, I'm a whatever. That's who suffers. But those things aren't anything permanent. They change. They're affected by other things. So this whole sense of who you are seems to be something which is not a sure thing, not permanent. Changes, fluxes, unstable. Not a sure bet. Not a good investment. You'll lose money on it. If you're an accountant, do the figures. If you know, maybe I'll invest in who I am. That's a sure thing. I'm always who I am, aren't I? I'm always who I am. So you have a sense of always being who you are, don't you? You don't feel like I'm someone different today. I'm my friend today. I'll be my friend. I don't want to be me, I'll be my friend. I think I'll be my mother today. I think I'll be the lecturer today. But generally we're always being who we are. But maybe that's just an illusion. Maybe that's not a sure thing, because who we are is continually changing. But we always say, I'm always who I am. It's me. I'm always me. Now, if you have a photo album, and I know some of you young people might have never seen a photo album. There was this thing called photo albums. They're actually made out of paper. They're a bit like a book. Have a cover on them, and you take a photo with a camera, a real camera, and you take the photos down to a camera shop and they print them up and you put them in a photo album. And then you've got this book you can look at. Oh, there's a photo. Photos here. This was me. This is me when I was two. My mother gave me this one. This is me when I was two. This is me when I was five. That's me with my brother. That's me first day of school. That's me on holidays when I was seven. And that's me on my 10th birthday. That's me. And that's me when I was 13. Got my bike then. That's me with 15 with my girlfriend. that's me at 17. No, that's me, 17 there. High school, leaving school, HSC. Ah, there's me. University. UNSW. I went to Sydney. That's me at work. So the common denominator with all those photos, what's the common denominator? Me. That's right. But are they of the same person? Does a photo look the same? No. 2 years old. Maybe 2 months you're old. 2 months. 2 months. 2 years. 5 years, 7 years, 10 years. Not the same body. So how could it all be me? Except in concept. Now we have a concept. We use this this personal pronoun me, and it ties all these very different images and body images together into being me. And there's obviously a lot in the photo album, a lot of photos that aren't there. Take out the bad ones. Don't like that one. So we have this this word that ties it all together. It's all me. But words hide the truth. Concepts hide the truth. Concepts don't change. You know, me. Me's always me. I'm always me. Always the same. Me's always the same. Even spelled the same. Me. And the strange thing is that you probably all have the same idea. You probably go, "This is me," and Emily goes, "This is me," and Isaac goes, "This is me." We all got the same name, but we all look very different. But we're all me. So the concepts hide the truth. They don't show up reality. Reality is that things are changing, things are fluxing, things are unsure, things are unstable, not permanent, not a good investment. If you want stability and certainty and security. So then, again, it brings up this question, well, who am I? Who am I? If what I am is just a collection of things that I tend to take personally. This is who I am. So there's no permanent, secure reality to who I am. In a way, you can see that who we are is just a flux, change, a process. Like a tree. From a seed that becomes a seedling, that becomes a shrub size, bush size, tree size, big tree size. Constantly changing, never quite the same. However, obviously, it's important to have a sense of yourself, to be able to function in life beyond just thinking, "Well, I'm me, you're a me, everyone's a me." There's only one of us here, really. It's all me. So it's important to have a healthy sense of yourself, to be able to be an individual, to relate to other me's. So that's part of regular life, to be able to have a healthy sense of self. And again, if you don't have a healthy sense of self, you can come and see me. But given that we are alive, we have life, we are experiencing life, there is life. It's important to really be aware of why you are alive, and what is it all about? What's this process of life? And who is it that's having this life? And maybe even to go further and question, well, okay, it's all about me. It's I'm here. I'm having this life. And I know that the self that is me is changing, but then to ask, well, what is that? What is this me? What is this self? What is this who that I think I am? Now, what is it? What is it? Not just, it's me, I'm here, this is who I am for a time, but what is that? What is the thing that we think that we are? Now, what is that? Because if it's being engaged, if it's being used, if it's functioning, if it's alive, then in order to understand how to use it, we need to understand what it is. Anyone got one of these? Yeah. A few people have one of these. Probably everyone's got one of these. Some sort of mobile phone. So we know what this is. What is it? A phone? Mobile phone, cell phone?
Communication device,
yes. Now we're getting more specific. Good, that's what we want. Because that describes it. A phone, sort of a mobile phone that walks around. But it's a communication device, which describes a bit what it's used for. So we know how to use this. Everyone know how to use this? I'm trying to work it out. So because we know what it is, we can then know how to use it and use it skillfully. Communication device, that's good. So then, since you've all got these, you know, a self, since you all think you are a self, then what is that? In order to use yourself well, what are you? What is the self? Hand up all the psychologists in the room. Anyone study psychology? Oh. No? No one studying psychology? Anyone studying accounting? But in a way, I think we all need to be somewhat of a psychologist in terms of understanding not just who we are, but actually what, you know, what am I? You know, what is this self? Everyone has a self, yes? So what is that? You've had a self for a while now, I guess. Most people have a self for 20 years? Anyone under 20 here? One person? Maybe a couple of people? Good. You can learn young. So most of us have had a self for at least 20 years. So what is it? You should know what it is by now. 20 years. What is the self? So a collection of memories, yeah, and thoughts. So it's a concept to differentiate between oneself and another self. And what are beliefs?
It doesn't have to be anything, but it's a belief.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, so we can say it's like values,
yeah,
and
values.
Beliefs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And fundamentally they occur as a thought in the mind. This is my belief.
Well, it doesn't necessarily to be a thought, because a thought is more like an outer layer of what you think you are. The value or belief is something deeper.
You studying psychology?
No, I'm just into it. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Any other ideas of what we are? Human. But what is the self? Maybe the human body. Hopefully, we have a human self. And again, roles change.
Yeah.
So then we could even say that what we are, or what the self is changing. And it's made up of a collection of thoughts and mental images that we have as memories, underlying beliefs that then affect how that self behaves, relates, engages. And what else? What's your name?
Yui.
Yui?
Yui.
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 Yui. So Yui had the right answer as well. So what is the self?
Yeah.
is the self? A communication device, that's right. Self is a communication device. Because if you didn't have a self, you would find it very difficult to communicate. So the self, we could say, is a... this is my definition of the self. The self is a neurologically based, so brain-based, neurologically based, psychological phenomena. So it's psychological or mental. Created out of thoughts for the purpose of interaction, interpersonal interaction, such as the ability to collate information, so collating, or let's say collecting information, collating information, communicating information. So essentially, it's a mobile phone. So the self is a neurologically based psychological phenomena created out of thoughts for the purpose of communication, interpersonal, especially communication. This self to that self. Anyone want to disagree?
Well, too abstract to disagree. I think that was somewhere. I agree.
Good. Good. So it's about learning how to then use this communication device. So both learning what it is, the more we understand what it is, not just who you are, but now what you are, what is the self, what is the self, we can then understand how to use it skillfully. So in this sense that I'm speaking, you may get a sense that it's something that you have, maybe something, not something which you are. So you aren't the self, but you have a self. Does that sort of make sense?
Yep.
So you aren't the self, but you have a self. Doesn't that make sense? Let me explain then. When you say, myself. We use that term, don't we? Myself. So that means that it's yours. The self is yours. Myself. My phone. Myself. If I was the phone, I'd say iPhone. iPhone, but it's not. I'm not the phone. I have a phone. It happens to be an iPhone. That's why they call it an iPhone, because we don't think of the other phone. But I have the phone. It's my phone. It's not your phone. It's my phone. Same with the self. If we were the self, we'd go I-self. I-self, as opposed to myself. So my denotes it is something that we have. My watch. Not I watch, my watch, etc. But psychologically, we forget that. We forget that. So there's wisdom in the language, and we forget that, and we think that we are the self. We think that we are the self. As opposed to it being, remembering and realizing it's a communication device. I'm not the communication device, I use it. I'm not the phone, I use it. And the more I understand that I'm not the phone, then I can use it skillfully. I can modify the phone, change the phone, go for some apps if I like. I can pick it up, and I can put it down, because it's not me. If it was me, it's like, well, I've got to always have it. And if I suddenly forget my phone at home or on the bus, stress, you know, it's like, because I'm it, you know, where am I? Where am I? But it's not me. I use it. Use it skillfully. Who sleeps with their phone? I've heard of people that have even say of their partners, you know, if phones were waterproof, my partner would wear it in the shower. so attached to his phone. He thinks he is a phone. And the phone very much becomes like that. It's like most people's phones, especially if it's an iPhone, it has, well, apart from it being used to communicate, they use it for communicating by sound, by visual, you know, you can send a photograph, you can do a text, you can have your photos on here. This is me when I was 2. This is me when I was 17. This is me. You can have all your photos on there. You've got all your contacts, all your friends on there. You can do notes on there. These are my thoughts. These are my plans. This is my calendar. This is what I'm doing next year. This is what I've done. This is where I'm going. This is my holiday. So much so that it almost becomes us. We start to think, well, this is who I am. I'm the phone, and I've got to always have it, because I've got to be me. I've got to, can't be separated from me. Because it's so much of self that's invested in it. But really, it's just a useful device that we can use. So maybe as well, the self is just a useful device. It's a psychological device to be used skillfully. And we've forgotten that. We start to think that we are the self, as opposed to I have a self. It's my self, it's not your self, it's my self. I have a self, I use a self. I use it to communicate, I use it to collect information, collate information, communicate information, give it some personal pronouns, me. So it's a helpful way of interfacing and relating to other selves, other communication device, other eyes. And the thing is that you're not always yourself, are you? You don't always have yourself with you. Did anyone not bring their self tonight? That might be a good thing. What about in meditation? Were you yourself? Yes? Who wasn't themselves when in the meditation? Anyone? Good. You listened. My instruction was to have a break, to have a break, to give the mind, conscious knowing awareness, a break from being caught into or relating through the roles of self. Self manifests through its roles. Self as a student, self as a friend, self as a son, as a daughter, as a brother, as a sister. These are all manifestations of self. So in meditation, we let them go so that the mind, conscious knowing awareness, doesn't have to relate through all those selves or any one of those selves. And even giving the mind a break from thinking that keeps the sense of self going. So what is left is just pure knowing awareness, conscious awareness, not self, just pure knowing awareness. So meditation becomes a wonderful opportunity for what you ultimately or really are to have a break from the self. Because as I said in the meditation, self comes with responsibilities, obligations, duties, stress, thinking. So it's like turning the phone off, turning the apparatus that's actually creating self in the brain off. But it just mindful awareness, conscious knowing, now. And in that there should not be any stress, any suffering. The body might have some discomfort. That's just the nature of the body. Maybe it's uncomfortably sitting, and so there's nerve pressure. Brain gets nerve pressure. It's just body sensation. But no suffering. Because it's only self that suffers. Only self gets stressed. Only self gets stressed, only self suffers. Body, yes, experiences pain, but it's self that suffers. I'm upset, I'm angry, I'm confused, I'm overwhelmed, I'm despairing, I'm jealous, I'm unhappy. Self. Self. Yes, the emotions can manifest through the body, can be verbalized through the body, but it's all about self. So meditation is especially giving the body, brain, and the brain manifests mind, conscious knowing awareness, a break from the interface through this psychological phenomena, communication device that we call self. Turn the phone off. Great. After meditation, you might pick up the self again and use it for as a relational tool, as a psychological relational tool for relating to other selves. So this would be the right use of self. And when there's a need for sleep, then don't keep self away, don't keep self running. Otherwise, the body will never get to sleep. It's about putting into flight mode, or at least just turning it off. You know, so otherwise, because if self's still going, brain's still thinking, creating. This is me. Yeah, here I am, lying down. I'd like to sleep. I want to sleep. I should sleep. Why can't I sleep? I have to sleep. If I don't sleep, I'm going to be stressed tomorrow. I won't function very well, I won't be able to listen, focus, do my studies, do my exams, I won't be able to sort of do very well, I'm getting stressed, don't get stressed, if you get stressed you can't sleep, if I can't sleep I'll get stressed, I should sleep, I have to sleep, why can't I sleep, what's wrong with me, I'm going mad. That's self just going. So sleep happens for the body when self is not happening. Okay, sometimes there's dreams. So a dream state, and self may be apparent, you know, in the dream state. But ideally, there is self is not operating. It's just the body is sleeping. And it would even be a misnomer, or let's say a wrong thought to think that I'm asleep. No, I go to sleep. Self doesn't sleep. Self is just not happening. Like when you actually turn the computer off, the computer's off. It's not there. I'm sort of actually asleep. So, no, it's off. No power. Dead. In the morning, no power on. Computer's up again. And it would be wrong for the computer to say, I was asleep. Like, no, you were just off. You weren't even functioning. So self doesn't sleep. Body sleeps. Self is not functioning. Which means that self isn't always happening. In meditation, sure, a lot of people in meditation, self is still happening. Here I am, I'm meditating, that's what I'm meditating. How long is the meditation going for? John said an hour, my goodness. Maybe he was joking, maybe he wasn't. Can I excuse myself? So self is still there, thinking, creating self. But ideally, no self. Meditation, no self. Pure knowing awareness. Sleeping, no self. Just sleep consciousness. And then also, if you're performing, if there is performing well, peak performance. What is even called, for want of a better word, being in the zone, being in flow. You heard those terms before? Which might be someone that's performing really well, which may be, it may be in their work, they might be a surgeon, and there's just total focus on what is happening. They're not thinking about themselves. They're not thinking, I'm a surgeon, I have to do well, I should do well, how much am I getting for this, how much am I earning for this, they should put me, should be able to, you know, put me on the plane to the next holiday, business class. You don't want the surgeon to be thinking. You just want him to be performing well. Or maybe it's someone that's a musician. And they're, especially if they're not getting caught into their self thinking, there's just the performance, which might be in just playing the violin. Just, there is just the body, the activity which has been well learned, there's the memory of what needs to be played, and there is just the playing. the person is not playing, I'm not playing this, thinking, how am I doing? I'm doing well, this is great, I'm enjoying this, what's happening afterwards, after the concert? I'm, you know, have a few drinks, and oh my goodness, maybe that guy did it that I like, and I'm, I've broken a string. There is just the playing. Maybe it's someone in sporting activity. If they're going to perform well, especially in high class, peak performance, peak sporting activity, they can't be thinking, how am I doing and where am I at and will I do, will I win? It's just, there's just the going. And so in this, what's happening is the brain, the neurological part of the brain that is based on the creation and engagement of thought, which actually consumes a lot of energy, has to go offline for peak performance. Because if you're thinking, that consumes a lot of energy. And so it goes offline. There is just the activity, just the body functioning. There's the knowledge, memory base, which is there. There's no self-referencing. There's no thinking or memories of me, self. Therefore, there is peak performance. Excellence happens. And people often say, wow, that was amazing. Gosh, you know, time just disappeared. I was there, I went in, did it. Gosh, and people say I did fantastic. I was like, wow, I wasn't even there. It was just like a meditation. Like, wow, amazing. That's correct. You weren't there. The person wasn't there. Brain had a break from having self. Which shows that the self is not always there. Again, it doesn't have to always be being used. So we, or as conscious awareness, the mind, mindfulness, conscious knowing can have a break from self. Which is really what's required, because otherwise self gets overused. And the brain can get into the habit of not even being able to turn off self. Self doesn't get turned off, it's constantly on. Those people talk a lot about themselves. Obsessed with themselves. Constantly on, there's no break. Even anxiety might come up if they are left alone, because they get a lot of sense of the self, of talking about the self, being the self, relating, etc. And find it very difficult to meditate as well. So it's really important to engage the proper, right use of the phenomena that we call self. Now for actually, you know, conscious, clear use. It's like the right, proper use of a mobile phone. I think probably in time there'll be particular rules around the use of a mobile phone. Because it hasn't, as far as I know, there aren't any rules. You just use them. Is that how it is? You just use them? Maybe in time there'll be certain etiquette around the use of mobile phones. Which is starting to develop, like most of you probably turned your mobile phones off. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't know how many people see, maybe 50 people, 60 people, something like that. Surely there should be at least one phone going every minute. Someone phoning in, someone getting a message. But you know, the etiquette, we turn the mobile phones off. And it's appropriate. And I think because it's still early days, human beings using mobile phones, it's only probably 30 years ago that people here, certainly in Sydney, still used black Bakelite phones. Bakelite was a pre-plastic. Before they had plastic, they had this thing called Bakelite. Now black. And to phone up, you'd put your finger in a dial and sort of spin it around. And not everybody had a phone in their home. Walk down the street to the phone booth to call somebody. Or you'd write a letter. they write a letter, not an email, but a real letter. And people knew how to use a pen properly. So it's only like 3 decades, and suddenly everybody's got one. Some people even have two. So it's like we have to evolve to be able to learn how to use phones in a proper way. If not, we'll start to think that we are the phone. Again, that's why they call it the iPhone. Same with the self. We haven't learned how to use the self properly, and we start to think that we are the self. That's why it's confusing, you know, when I say, you're not yourself, you're not the self, you use the self, you have a self. It's, you know, you say myself, not I self. It's mine, it's myself, it's a self that I have, it's a self that I use. I'm not it, I use it. I am the awareness, conscious knowing, Buddho, Buddha, that shines through that self. If I think I am the self, definition of unenlightenment. So enlightenment is one who realizes that they're not the self, they're not the ego identity, and have broken that illusion, that sort of underlying misunderstanding, misconfusion, misperception. And therefore there's no suffering. Because again, it's only self that suffers. So if you think you are the self, then you're going to suffer. Especially if what I am is I'm a student. And then suddenly, you know, you finish university, I don't want to leave because I'm a student. I have to be a student. That's who I am. I'm a student, but you've got to leave. No, you can't stay, but I'm a student. No, you have to change yourself. You can't have a student self. You go to work, I'm really a student. I love university. Or maybe you get a job at the university. You work here. I work at the university, but I'm really a student. I'm attached to being a student. That was my identity. That's who I am. So whatever you think you are, whatever you are identified with, will be a source of suffering. Because whatever you think you are will change. It will change. It can't last. It's affected by other things. And in my work as a psychologist, I'm dealing with this all the time in various ways. Someone loses their job. They said, well, but you know, that's who I was. You know, I am a professional. I am a businessman. I am the CEO, and I've lost my job. Who am I now? I'm confused. I'm nobody. Or someone in a relationship. You know, we've been in a relationship for 20 years. I'm a wife. That's who I am. I'm a wife. My husband is my wife. Vice versa. I'm a wife, that's my husband, but then the husband says, I don't want to be with you anymore. I've got a girlfriend. So the wife goes, well, but that's who I am. I've been a wife for 20 years. That's my identity. And they split up, and great stress for the wife, because she's no longer a wife. But that's who she is, so great stress. So she has to change her identity. It goes into all sorts of things. Now being employed and not employed, being a student, not a student, being in a relationship, I'm a partner and I'm not a partner. Maybe being a child and not being a child, being an adult, being responsible. So it's, these things change all the time, and if we're attached to it being a certain way, that's where there's going to be suffering. Whatever we're attached to, we will suffer on that level to the degree that we are attached to being that. So this is where it becomes very, very important to really think about, you know, well, who am I? Who do I think I am? What am I creating myself out of? And actually, what is? You know, what is this self? Rather than taking for granted that, you know, you are, but actually, you know, well, what is the self? What is the self? Even just as a bit of an ending, just a bit of language lesson here, the word that we have in English for self or selfhood, personhood, I'm a person, personhood, and person comes from the root word persona, Anyone here studying Greek or Latin? No? Why not? Anyone here speaks Greek or Latin? Or Greek or Italian? Just in case I get it wrong. So, person comes from the Greek word persona. And persona is the Greek word for mask. Mask. So, and especially used for the actor in Greek drama would put on a persona. Put on a persona, put on a mask. This is who I am. So the actor was not the role, not the role that he was in. He was he's the actor performing a role, not the persona. So why do we think that we are the persona? And we get caught up thinking that we are the persona, that we are the mask. And if we think about it, then why does there need to be a mask? It's not like you're hiding behind a mask, but maybe there needs to be a mask in order to relate, communication device, in the drama which is life. Because what's behind the mask is, any ideas?
You.
You, yes. You really are behind the mask. And what is it that you are behind the mask? That would even need a mask? Or?
Awareness.
Awareness. So,
being.
Soul.
That's getting a bit sort of psychological. So what's behind the mask is nothing. No thing. So not a phenomena, but no thing. Which we can say manifest as awareness, conscious knowing awareness. No thing. Not something that is in time, time bound, conditioned, conditional, compounded, subject to aging, illness and death. That's bodies. Aging, illness and death, bodies. So the persona is a mask that is used to be able to interface, to communicate. So what's behind the mask is pure knowing awareness, no-thingness. And we've forgotten that. We've forgotten that we are that which is behind the mask, using the mask, using the self, using the persona, to relate. So it's like we've forgotten that we use the phone, we're not the phone. I have a phone, I'm not the phone. Not me. So this is where, you know, it becomes really important. And even in Latin, so Latin, persona, similar word to Greek, persona. We even use the word per in English. Do you know where you use the word per? What that means for? Per? P-E-R, per. I'm not sure about that. So in English we use it to mean for, as per this, as per the example, so for. So it means for, per means for, as for this. And sona, what's sona mean? That's Latin, but we have similar words in English, sona. Sound, exactly, yes. So sona is sound. Sound is like a submarine has sonar device, sona, sonic, sound, or voice even. So here we have persona, for the sound of, for the voice of. So the persona, the person, is actually for the voice of. Because that which is speaking doesn't have a voice in itself, because it's not a thing. So it needs to have a persona, a self to relate. So again, conscious knowing awareness doesn't have a voice. It's no thing. It's nothing that is substantial. It's not conditioned, not compounded, not a sankhara. So therefore it needs a self, a persona, let's say mask or voice to relate. So this might sound psychological, but it's also deeply spiritual. And also relates to the whole Buddhist idea of self and not self. So all phenomena are not essentially the self, not essentially you. There's no permanent you to be found in anything, but we could say what you are is that which is behind all of that, not in the behind as in some place and some time, but that which uses the self for conscious relating. And the self will change over time, modified, and ultimately when the body dies, the self dies as well, because the self is based upon thoughts and memories and images and so forth. So, okay, it's about in your life, in the life that you have, using the self in the right way. And also to say that a lot of this, basically a lot of the stress, suffering is because of self. And even in the world today, a lot of the stress, suffering in the world today is because of people's selves, because they think they are the self, and self can never be satisfied. It always wants more. Always self-seeking. Self is self-seeking, self-serving, self-satisfying, but it can never be satisfied, which is good for the accountants. People always want to buy something else. They'll never be happy. The self can't be happy. Self needs to keep seeking. It's an activity. The self is a process, self is an activity, constantly changing. It can't be satisfied, then it becomes static, doesn't change, but it keeps changing, it's not anything in particular. So it's about being aware of that so that you can then use the self in a proper way, and also at times have a break from the self. Just be present now, knowing awareness. Whatever self thinks it is, will change. So just be really careful about getting caught into that. Even through that process of the mind identifying something, that's a watch. Identifies with it, my watch. Then creates identity out of it. It's my watch. I am the watch. That's how the psychological process works. It goes like. Emotion. My emotion. I am emotion. I'm afraid. I'm angry. I'm sad. I'm confused. That's not necessary. It can just be awareness of. So there can be awareness of something, identifies, that's an emotion, that's a thought, that's a body sensation. Doesn't have to identify with it or create identity out of it. That's not who or what you are. You can be aware of it. There's a lot in this, and I talk to my clients in psychology sessions in this way to help them to not be so identified with their pain. I'm sick. I mean, the body's sick, or you're sick? Oh, well, I guess it's my body. I'm going crazy. What are you going crazy? Oh, well, having lots of thoughts. Are you the thoughts? No, I'm noticing the thoughts. So the thoughts are crazy, but you're not crazy. Oh, right, yeah. Or I'm angry. Well, okay, some anger arises and is felt in the body. It creates a certain mental state and certain thoughts. You notice those thoughts, those angry thoughts, the angry mental state, the angry body experience. Are you all of that? No, I can be aware of it. So are you angry? No, actually not. So, but because we get caught in it, we think we are it, we take it all personally, so suffering happens. So this is not Buddhism 101. This is sort of up there. So if you feel a bit confused, that's good. That's okay, and that's good. Be a bit confused, but realize you're not really confused. It's just a mental state. You just notice it. I am that which is aware of the mental state of confusion and the thoughts that might be coming up and the tension in the stomach. I am the knowing.
I think something just like you can understand, some idea, you can only understand it. Like, if you want to try to tell it, you just have no way to tell it.
No way to
express it.
Express it, right.
Yes.
Yeah. That's where we need to go for some apps. So our session tonight is downloading an apps. So it's about downloading the apps, using it to be able to relate better into life and not get so caught up, not get so stressed, not take things personally, to function better. Now that that's why they have apps for phones, so that the phone can function better. So this is an apps for self. So if you have any questions or comments, we'll finish at 9 o'clock, which is in about 25 minutes time. You need to have also some time for any sort of announcements. Leave some time for that. Okay.
But did anyone have any questions?
So any questions from the self?
So basically, I've been using your explanation. So basically, self is how people perceive throughout the experience of life, how life and their experience externally shape their self, how they think about self. But how would you explain the difference in newborn? Like, you know, the baby, when they were born, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a difference in baby. I mean, certain baby likes the certain things. But how would you really explain that? Because they're just born, I mean, they are completely new to the world.
Mm.
How can things shape them?
Mm. Well, certainly at that point they are new, but not quite new, because there'll be things that even at that point they like. They don't like bright lights, they don't like loud sounds, based upon just the way in which the brain functions, an auditory or visual experience. So they like certain food that affects their palate in a certain way. That's just basic physiology, which is, you know, the same for us throughout our life. You know, we body don't like to be too cold or too hot, etc. But there's probably a lot that goes on in vitro, so 9 months in the womb. So people even say that, my child loves classical music because, you know, when it was in the womb, I played lots of classical music, etc. So there's conditioning that's going on right from a very, very early time. not until it's taken personally. So it's only self when the mind goes, oh, I'm going to grab onto that and claim it and make it me. Otherwise, it's just a certain familiarity or a certain sensitivity to certain sensory phenomena. So it's like, you know, our own bodies just like certain things and not other things, just based upon conditioning. So self doesn't have to be involved in that. Self is just, self might be there to some degree, but that just can be used for communication. For relating, doesn't have to be taken on as, well, I like this. It's just, well, okay, no, the body likes this. And the taste buds like this.
So how would you explain by the fact that different persons are passionate about different things? Like I like this. I love to be an accountant, but other people want to be a football performer.
Mm.
Is that because of their life experience that shape what they like, or it just happens to be themselves? Yeah.
Well, again, it can become very much self. In terms of what you tell yourself, this is what I like, this is what I do, this is what I'm good at. And people say, this is what you're good at, this you should do this. And that gets taken on board as part of yourself. Or it can be just there as just an ability that is there. It doesn't have to be taken personally. Does that sort of answer your question?
Only think it's self when you think it is self, but it can be perceived as a ability to do well in a certain area.
Mm, 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 mm. Yeah, it doesn't have to be self. It's just can be just an ability, a skill. It's only self when we take it personally and create an identity out of it. It's a bit like So many of you are probably from overseas, and it's probably an identity, I'm from overseas or I'm from Malaysia. But then if you stay here, maybe become an Australian citizen, then you let go of that sense of, well, I'm a Malaysian citizen. No, I'm an Australian citizen. So it's letting that go. It doesn't have to be part of yourself. It ceases to be that as self changes, because self identifies with something else. Self is whatever is attached to and claimed and made into that psychological phenomenon. And it's often claiming and also letting go of things throughout one's lifetime. Yes? Does it work? I won't ask if you tried that. Yes, that's right. People do take drugs and get really drunk to try and have a break from themselves. And so obviously the drugs and alcohol affect the functioning of the brain, and therefore the brain isn't able to think as well. I'm a professional, I have these responsibilities, and I have to do this, and life's so busy. The brain's not thinking that. The brain's just like, whoa, I can't see straight. So it can be a break from a lot of the stress that people have, which is one of the reasons that they do that. And a lot of things that people do are often trying to get away from themselves. Extreme sports, where people get involved in extreme sports because in that situation, life and death situation, you're hanging off a cliff, you're paragliding or abseiling or doing something quite extreme, and the brain needs to be totally focused in the present moment. If you're thinking about yourself, the body will die. So people get addicted to that rush of just being totally present and having that amazing break from themselves. And obviously some people do die because the risk involved. So the safer way is meditation. no crash helmet required. Freedom from suffering. Yeah. The main purpose to understand what is self and or who is the self and what is the self is to relieve suffering, because it's only self that suffers, and if you think that you are the self, then there's going to be suffering. And the whole of the Buddha's teachings is really about that. It's about realizing anatta, realizing nibbana, the end of being caught into being somebody that needs somewhere to be and something to do, and therefore keeps getting reborn into a situation to keep on being. So when there's no more attachment or desire for that, there's nibbana. So it's really, really important to understand that. And the Buddha obviously taught for 45 years and lots of teachings on all different levels to different people. Different people at different levels of understanding, but really, ultimately, it's about realizing being beyond the self. That's right, yes, yes.
So, can I just. Yes,
sir. Yeah. You then. It's very generous.
Just want to tie in with what the comment you gave about a
know.
Yeah.
Next question. No, sure. But certainly, again, we know that sabbe sankhara anicca, so all things are impermanent. So even if there was a life happening, that's changing and fluxing. It's not the same as maybe the new life. And it's not even the same self, because self is conditioned through the life that the person is experiencing now. But yes, there may be certain traits or qualities that seem to sort of come through, but they need the life to come like be expressed. So it's like there's a programming happening. So it's a bit like programming a message and then sending it somewhere else. It's no longer in this form in the body of this phone, but it gets into another phone that receives it, but it doesn't receive it as image, and it receives it as digital information, energy information in a very digital form, basic form. But it needs the phone to manifest as a photograph or an image. Otherwise, it won't actually be known. So sure, that's there's that energy information that may go from life to life, which is changing from life to life as well. But it's about realizing that is not, it's not permanent, and it's not, and there's no permanent self that's in there, it's just energy information changing. But often for convenience sake, and language sake, we go, oh, in my past life I was this and I was born there, but in reality that's not true, because the I or self that is here is not the self and I that was back there. No, it's just, and that's where we get caught into maybe mistaking concepts for reality. I went to a talk a few weeks ago at a Buddhist seminar, and there was a professor out from America, and he said, so the Buddha's teaching is a lot about suffering, because the Buddha, when he was young, saw suffering, and suffering became a motivator for him to leave his home and seek enlightenment. So the Buddha's, the motivation for the Buddha at that time was suffering. And it sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Yeah. But we could question, well, actually, is that right? Did the Buddha see and experience suffering, and that became his motivation for leaving his wife and child and going off? Firstly, it wasn't suffering, it was the fourth sign, so the fourth messenger. So aging, illness and death, the fourth sign was seeing a spiritual practitioner. Possibility. So that became the motivation to go and seek clarity. But the Buddha, that wasn't the Buddha. Who was that? Siddhartha, that's right. The Buddha wasn't born and got married. The Buddha got married. The Buddha had a son. Like, no. We speak in that way, but that's not true. Siddhartha Gautama did that. The Buddha was that awakening that happened later on. So this is where we get caught into this idea of continuity. We think, oh, we have continuity. This is me at 2, this is me at 7, this is me, it's all me. But no, not real. It's like, have you ever seen a caterpillar flying? Anyone seen a caterpillar with wings? Caterpillar with wings. Caterpillars don't have wings, do they? No. Butterflies do. So there's a process there. Caterpillars, hang out on leaves and eat leaves. And then the caterpillar is no longer, and what then happens, there's a butterfly. In the same way, Buddha, the Buddha wasn't married, so the caterpillar, the butterfly isn't a caterpillar, and you aren't all 2 years of age. No, it's a constant coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. But because we get caught into it's all me, that's where the illusion happens. The illusion of the continuity of self. And people suffer because of something that happened maybe 20 years ago. But that wasn't them really. Oh, that was me, that happened to me, and I'm so sad and so angry and so upset that happened to me 20 years ago or 10 years ago or yesterday, but actually in reality it's not you. Different person. Why carry the baggage from the past? It's just an illusion. Any more questions? You don't have to.
No. I really ran out of questions. So, sorry before a question. Just want to comment on his questions. And please repeat me if I got it wrong. To answer the question, what's the point of understanding the self or non-self? You know, before reaching Nirvana and, you know, relief from suffering and, you know, stuff like that, I guess another practical way of doing that is to be able to manipulate yourself, to be able to utilize your strength and weakness to function better in life. And that's why in any job application, especially in interview, they ask you, like, what's your strength and weakness and stuff like that.
That's right.
To be able to see that, is that true?
That's right, yeah. So this is where the more we understand what the self is, the self can be modified and changed to be a better self. That's like a better, more functioning phone. And you can do that because if you realize that you're not the self. So you work on the self, you work on yourself. You're not the self, you work on the self. You develop the self, you change the self. And you have times when you're not the self as well. Very much so. And psychology is very much about helping people modify the self, their self. So they have a better, healthier, functioning self. But psychology doesn't go further to actually question, well, what is the self? And can we be that, or are we really that which uses the self rather than being the self? And that's where Buddhism starts to sort of take over.
Thank you.
Yes. Maybe in that sense, sure. But it's about, again, the right proper use of self. So it's not like turning off the self and not being a self, not having a self. It's about using the self. So realizing that that you're not the self, but you can use the self, and therefore you can use the self more skillfully. And you can use it without wearing out, because it's just something, hey, I'm not this, and people might go, I love your phone, I don't like your phone. You got a great phone, you got a horrible phone. Like, sure, whatever, it's not me. But you can use it. So it's about, you know, using yourself. Not letting it go in the sense that now I'm nobody. You need a self. So it's about having a healthy, strong, well, happy self to relate to your mother. It's like a healthy mask. But it's about realizing that you use the mask rather than being the mask. And your mother, you know, she's what she really is not a mother. That's just a role, a mask that she is using in the relationship with you. With your mask, with yourself, with your persona. said that. I mean, we're all actors and actors, actors and actresses, and they're playing a role on stage and so forth. That's ultimately what's happening, and it's playing the role well, and realizing that it's going to come to the point, curtains down, finish, show's over. But if you think that you are the actor, then you don't want to even go off stage. No break. I want to stay on stage all night, all day, every day. That's who I am. I'm the role, as opposed to, no, you're the actor having a role, using a role. You can go home now. Show's over. Or it's really over. The body's died. But if you think, oh, but I'm still an actor, or I'm still the role, that's when you rebirth back into the whole thing happens again, samsara. So you can probably perform the role better as a daughter if you're not identified with being the daughter. It's just a role that you use. So are you studying or working? Or
I'm studying.
Studying? What are you studying?
Science.
Science? So, and what will your job be?
I'm not sure yet.
So you, let's say you'll be a scientist. So you use the role of being a scientist at certain times, at other times don't, you know, you let go of being a scientist. It's just a role you use. Because if you go, if you end up like talking to your mother as a scientist, you say, what's your name?
Mo.
Mo?
Yeah.
Mo? You're my daughter, you're not a scientist. You're my daughter. So, well, but, oh sorry, I forgot, forgot to take the role off being a scientist and put the daughter role on again. So these are all roles that we use, and we need to use them skillfully, otherwise we end up burning out. And I see a lot of people that burn out because they get stuck in their role, they think they are the role. Whether it's the role of being a professional, you know, 24/7, go to bed sleeping about, thinking about their work, or mothers that wear out because they just can't let go. They've got to be a mother. That's who they are. They can't stop being mothering. And they mother their kids. The kids end up having problems because they just always mothered. And the kids finally can't leave home because the mother says, no, stay, I'm a mother. I have to be here to mother you because that's who I am. I'm a mother, I'm a mother, I'm a mother. Kids finally leave home and the mother's mothering someone else's kids. Have to do the mothering. So it's about realizing that you're not the role, you use the role, and you can use it skillfully, you can modify it, and perform well in that role. That sounds like life.
isn't that what Buddha say? Isn't that what Buddha say? I mean, like, he would say we have life as a human being because we, yeah, because of that we pay the debt that we have. Is that what?
Well, maybe there isn't. Maybe there's no meaning to life at all. Meaning is just what we give to life. And it changes, you know. The meaning of life might be this, or the meaning of life might be this. It's just whatever you want to make it. To someone that's maybe wants to be a multimillionaire, the meaning of life is to become a multimillionaire. To someone else, the meaning of life is to become a mother and have a children. Someone else, the meaning of life might be to be an actor. It's whatever you want to put under the meaning of life.
So what is the wise meaning of life?
There's no wise meaning of life. Well, the wise meaning of life is that you make your own meaning. And also to realize that it doesn't have to be a meaning of life. What's the meaning of the light shining? It's just shining. It doesn't have a meaning. It's just, that's something which self wants to have a meaning, and then have a purpose, and then have goal, and then have I'm doing it, or I'm winning, or I'm better than you. That's all just self stuff again. And it can be helpful if it's used skillfully. And certainly, as we heard over here, you know, from the Buddhist point of view, or the Buddha's point of view, the meaning of life could be to realize ultimate truth, realize ultimate freedom, and not get caught up thinking that you are the roles, because the roles change, the roles dissolve, and you need a body to, you know, to have those roles and bodies keep on dying. Okay, what made the Buddha was that there was no attachment to any role. So using the role, but not being the role. Well, in a conventional sense of relating, the Buddha may be saying, I am the Buddha, but not in any sort of ego-centered way. Just as a conventional sort of way of speaking. So it's like, Emily said, oh, no, John, this John said, yes, I'm a psychologist, but it's just a conventional speak. I won't be a psychologist when I go to sleep tonight. Hopefully not. But it's good that you keep questioning, and even when it's like, I don't know, I don't understand this, that's good. Keep questioning, keep asking questions of me, of anyone, of yourself. That's where you can learn, because too often we just take things for granted, and especially the idea that this is me, this is who I am, I'm the self. Like, well, what is that? Who do I think I am? What am I? What is this self? So it's only because we can start questioning that we can start to break through some of the concepts that maybe just hide the truth. So, keep questioning. We might need to finish up for tonight. So thank you for your attention. If you're confused, it's not really you, it's just confusion.